This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know how lobbyists get a bad rap? That they corrupt the political process and distort government and the economy and pretty much everything else? Well, yeah, right. But you know what else? Lobbying is a huge, ginormous business. There are 14,000 official lobbying groups in Washington, D.C., which does, I believe, make one wonder what they could all possibly be lobbying about. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer finds out with a business lunch.
I'm late, running through the rain to a lunch appointment with Lee Drutman, a senior fellow at New America who studies lobbying. He's waiting for me at the buffet.
Hey, how are
you? Hey, I am so sorry.
Oh, no.
Are you hungry?
I'm hungry enough.
We're here to see just how ubiquitous lobbying has become. We're zeroing in on the food business, loading up our plates, then dissecting them. To see which foods have lobbyists at the table, we belly up to the buffet.
There's a watermelon association.
You want to get some watermelon?
Sure.
We sit down. Drutman pulls out a laptop with a list of lobbyists, and I tell him what's on my plate.
Oh, I'm going to take a bite of beef. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a pretty big beef lobby.
There are 17 beef organizations here in Washington. We've got the Center for Beef Excellence, Agribeef, U.S. Premium Beef, Beef Products Incorporated.
You get the idea. Every single thing on our plates had somebody representing it on Capitol Hill. Sometimes lots of somebodies. For rice?
Oh, we've got 7 rice associations here.
Ditto for shrimp. Some of the trade associations are pretty obscure, like the International Natural Sausage Casing Association or the American Dehydrated Onion and Garlic Association. I reach for a bag of chips, which reminds me. I interviewed the CEO of the Snack Food Association, Tom Dempsey, because I was wondering, what are all these food folks lobbying for? Turns out it's stuff like labeling on packages and the federal government's new dietary guidelines. Dempsey says,
what the association does is tries to stay out in front of issues that may not impact the industry tomorrow, but will impact it down the line.
Other food lobbyists are focused on the new trade deals. There's one with Europe that's gotten the attention of the International Dairy Foods Association. Dave Carlin is the association's chief lobbyist. He says Europe wants to trademark the names of certain cheeses, but luckily,
the cheese will not stand alone.
Certainly, it's important to stand up for cheese, but there are 35 dairy lobby groups. I asked Carlin, why are there so many?
We have to tell our story, because if we don't tell our story, nobody else will.
There's an old saying in Washington, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Which brings me back to the buffet with Lee Drutman. We've started talking money. He says there are about 1,100 different food lobbying organizations in Washington, spending about $130 million a year. He says all the registered lobbyists in town spend about $3 billion a year. I wondered when lobbying got to be such a big business. Drutman says the food folks started around the time of FDR's New Deal, when a lot of agricultural subsidies were born.
It caused a lot of people in the agricultural industry to pay attention to politics.
Drutman says corporations started lobbying more in the 70s and 80s in the wake of increased government regulation, and it just kept growing. Now lobbying kind of feeds on itself.
Once companies and associations set up shop in Washington, they rarely leave because they've hired lobbyists who can keep them interested in all the issues. And so once you start lobbying, you tend to keep lobbying, and there's a self-reinforcing stickiness.
Because you certainly don't want to be the one who's not at the table. Feeling full, but kind of like I want to wash my hands. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.